Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Pelshia, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Inox Wind Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pelshia. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all to the Q3 FY24 earnings call of Inox Wind Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Devansh Jain, Executive Director, Inox GFL Group, Mr. Kailash Tarachandani, Chief Executive Officer, Inox Wind Limited, and other senior members of the management. Without much ado, I'll now hand over the call to the management to start with the brief opening remark, which will be followed by Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Kailash Tarachandani here. A very warm welcome to all to the Quarter 3 Financial Year 2024 earnings call of Inox Wind Limited. The company announced its Quarter 3 results at its board meeting held on Friday, 9th February, today. The results, along with the earnings presentations, are available on the stock exchanges as well as on our website. Let me first take you quickly through the financial results for Quarter 3 Financial Year 2024 for the company. As guided in the previous calls, I'm delighted to announce that Inox Wind has turned PAT positive. This is, however, just the beginning of the massive growth journey ahead, with huge opportunity that the sector beholds. Inox Wind has had a remarkable turnaround, which has translated into strong numbers reported for this quarter as well. For the quarter on consolidated basis, Inox Wind has reported revenue of ₹506.9 crore in Quarter 3 FY24 versus ₹237.7 crore in Quarter 3 FY23, an increase of 113% YOY. EBITDA of ₹99.5 crore in Quarter 3 FY24 versus EBITDA loss of ₹172.5 crore in Quarter 3 FY23. Profit after tax of ₹1.8 crore in Quarter 3 FY24 versus loss after tax of ₹287.9 crore in Quarter 3 FY23. The macro tailwinds have massively supported our growth plans. With the GDP growth envisaged over the next decade, the demand for power is huge. Wind power being one of the lowest-cost power and significantly lower than the average power purchase cost of the country, and also the fact that it is green power augurs well for its growth. We have crossed 100 MW of supplies in Quarter 3 and have also started 3.3 MW, our new 3 MW turbine supplies, for which we have secured the RLMM listing as well. We are really excited about the prospects of Inox Wind. We have been working hard for the last several quarters to come to this stage, working on strengthening the balance sheet to ramp up our operation as well as enhancing our product offering to the best technological products available globally. Wind energy can only provide RTC requirements where it combines optimally with solar and storage solutions. This has led to numerous order wins over the last month, including a large 279 MW order from a large C&I player, another 50 MW order from Navratna CPSU, which is NLC India, as well as the recent mega order win of 1,500 MW, single largest order from CESC. The CESC order, as I said, is the single largest wind order ever awarded to any OEM in the country, with order intake of approximately 1,850 MW in the recent months, taking our total order book to approximately 2.6 GW. Provides strong revenue growth visibility, and we believe we should deliver more than gigawatt-scale annual execution much earlier to what we anticipated. Our efforts have also yielded results in our vendors' confidence and backed us with supplies to be able to ramp up our production. Our customers across PSUs, IPPs, C&I, and the retail have also shown confidence and interested us, giving us large orders. Our debt levels have also come down drastically, and operations are being geared up to position as well for 2 gigawatt of annual execution. We continue to maintain that we will achieve the net debt status, net debt zero status by H1 of the next financial year. Also, as guided earlier, we will be incrementally looking at increasing equipment supplies to our order book, next along with the turnkey. What truly sets us apart is the infrastructure build-up, including the high-value project site inventory, which we have built over the time, and I believe we would be one of the largest companies in terms of project site infrastructure ownership, which is USP for us, as it enables us to deliver the turnkey project on plug-and-play model to our customers. India's renewable target in general and wind in particular, along with Gujarat and Rajasthan government policies on captive wind, plus the carbon tax announced by several economies globally, added by the move away from fossil fuels, provides a massive opportunity for the wind sector. Inox Wind has put in place all the building blocks to be able to capture a sizable portion of the large opportunity. Over the next 8 to 10 years, India plans to add over 100 gigawatt of wind power capacity on the current base of around 44 gigawatt. The current order book is 2,575 megawatt, and with more orders being expected in the near future, provides a strong revenue growth visibility. The commencement of our 3.3 product supplies, our robust and well-capitalized balance sheet, combined with lean cost structure, will add to our strength that we have built over the last few quarters. We have also signed an exclusive licensing agreement for 4 megawatt series turbines, which we believe will help us address the technological requirement in the onshore wind sector over the next decade. Our O&M subsidiary, Inox Green, continues to gain strength, has delivered another good quarter. Listing IGESL separately, I believe, was a strategic move to place us strongly for growth, both organically and inorganically. I believe we are on track to reach 6 gigawatt O&M portfolio by FY26. We will discuss the financial of the Inox Green in detail separately right after this call. With this, I would now like to hand over to Mr. Devansh Jain for his brief remarks, after which we will open up the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you, Katie. Good evening, everybody. I am pleased to state that all our hard work has paid off, finally, and we have been able to deliver on all the promises we made. The efforts which we have put over the last few quarters have yielded a remarkable turnaround for Inox Wind in Q3, which is reflected in the current order book, the ever-growing order book, and the reported numbers. I firmly believe that we have just embarked on a massive growth journey. With all the levers aligned, which includes the strong promoter backing of the company, a robust balance sheet, large and continuously increasing order book, which is very well diversified now, ramped up operations, a high value project development pipeline, which is a key moat and USP also for us, along with being technologically ready for the next decade, I believe Inox Wind is fully geared to capture the large opportunities that the sector beholds. With our operations ramped up and further being ramped up, for 2 gigawatt of annual execution and the large order book, we should achieve more than a gigawatt of annual execution much earlier than what the market could have anticipated, and even much earlier than we ourselves could have anticipated. Thank you, and let's open the floor to questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question comes from Rahul Kotari from Grit Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Devansh. First of all, hearty congratulations to your team for achieving amazing results. and standing on your guidance. Also, congrats for winning such a large order of 1500 megawatt. Again, that's a commendable thing. Sir, we'd like to understand more on the, can you help regarding the guidance? Have we revised or can you provide some guidance for FY25 execution front?
Hardik, thank you so much for your compliments, but I think it goes out to the entire team for all the hard work that has gone over the last several quarters to be able to enjoy the where the sector is now, please. Look, I think we guided for certain numbers which were targeting 500 or 600 megawatt. While I would not want to put out an official number at this point in time, all that we can say is that we will be looking at significantly increasing execution from that perspective. The company is gearing up for a gigawatt of annual execution. As you can see, our order book is now, excluding LOIs, north of 2,500 megawatts. And clearly, I mean, without specifying the exact details at this point in time, I think we would be looking at a very, very significant ramp up in operations and a significant jump to what the market expects.
Regarding this 4 megawatt new turbine setup, can you help us understand more on the regarding the infrastructure that we have? How does it get into gel into this current infrastructure, or do we need to set up a new infrastructure? What sort of visibility do we can we consider about winning some orders on this turbine?
No, look, first and foremost, I think we've announced a license agreement for the 4X platform. Now, that's not something which just comes in. If you recall, the 3 megawatt has taken 2 to 3 years to come to fruition. There's a, you set up a turbine, you undergo type certification, and then you ramp up supplies and so on and so forth. So what we've tried to do is we looked at the 4 building blocks which are required in this business to succeed. One, we needed a strong balance sheet, which we've now positioned ourselves for. Second, we needed a large project site inventory. We are probably the largest project site developers across wind turbine manufacturers today in the country, and we have a very, very strong project development pipeline and plug-and-play infrastructure available. The third piece which was required was large orders to obviously increase execution, get revenue, and a diversified order book. And I think we are very happy to share we have a very, very diversified, of course, we won one very large order over 2 to 3 to 4 years, but we expect significantly large orders as we keep moving forward. What the technology, and the fourth piece is the technology piece. So it's not that we're looking at India only from a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year perspective. We looked at where is India heading in the next 8 to 10 years. And what we saw is we must have another larger product in our arsenal from the perspective that there are certain sites where larger rotor diameter blades can go. And to that extent, to the extent that we will keep using our 3.3, which is our cost, which I believe is ideally suited for the Indian markets, but a 4X platform is also well suited for certain parts of the Indian market, and we did not want to lose out on those opportunities. So I think this is something which will play out over the next 2-3 years. In the meantime, 3 megawatt is the workhorse. 2 megawatt, as you know, is a limited play now, given that it's fairly outdated in our scheme of things. But yes, there are certain places where we use the 2 megawatt as well. But going forward, 3 is going to be the workhorse for several years.
And sir, just one more question. In this cycle, there's this interesting thing of loss of demand orders that we are winning is also split into like core turnkey plus also orders with regards to pure turbine supply. So does that, how does this help us with significant revenue growth? Like, is it from the side of the customers who are asking like pure to go for turbine and execute on their own?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. What is your question?
What we are looking is that this time compared to last cycle, earlier loss of order used to be on the turnkey or pure or complete turnkey kind of orders, and this cycle is like we are getting turnkey orders also and plus also pure only equipment supply kind of orders. So does this help us to quickly ramp up our capacity and more revenue, earlier revenue visibility?
No, of course, because effectively we don't want to take the onus on of all project development on ourselves, right? I mean, we have, we have a fairly large capacity and capability to develop project pipelines and offer projects even on a plug-and-play basis. But what a split of EPC does is basically other people are developing their sites whenever they are ready, and we are de-risking ourselves by having multiple turnkey orders, multiple equipment supply orders. So, you know, naturally it enables us to scale up business faster, also scale up our entire opportunity. Because assume I could do, say, 1500 megawatts of turnkey, but I could do 2.5-3 gigawatts of equipment supply. So what simply this does is adds onto our project development pipeline, moving away from a project development pipeline by leveraging 5 other players who are developing their own projects.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for answering the questions. So that's it from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Ardiksha, an individual investor. Please go ahead. I repeat, question comes from Ardiksha, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir. There is no response. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Preet Nagashet from Wealth Finfisher. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you. So first of all, a big commendation to the management for delivering such numbers and such business. I would love to understand the revenue recognition workflow that this business follows. If someone could share some light on that.
Sure. Manish, could you take them through our revenue recognition policy?
Sure. So as far as revenue recognition policy are concerned, in terms of supply of goods, we recognize the revenue when the risk and reward got transferred to the customer. That depend upon the contract to contract. And in terms of EPC revenue, we recognize our revenue based upon the commissioning of the WTGs. There are two steps which we recognize accordingly. In terms of O&M, that is a time-based services which we provide over a period of time and recognize the revenue based upon the timing or time performance of the same.
So just to get this right, so an equipment supply, the timing for recognizing the revenue is when the equipment is supplied and the delivery is completed. Is that what you just meant?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And in terms of EPC, it is on commissioning. So could it be that, say, if the evacuation takes time or if there are challenges in commissioning, the revenue recognition will get back-ended?
Contract to contract. For example, in a limited scope EPC, you know, if over scope of work doesn't include commissioning, so we recognize the revenue on when the EPC work got completed. Only wherein the commissioning is in our scope, we recognize the revenue based on commissioning of the WTGs.
Understood. Okay. The other question I had is regarding the bid pipeline. So you mentioned 2600 megawatt of orders, excluding the LOIs. What about the pipeline that is building up? Could you shed some light on that?
Look, I think there's almost 15 gigawatts of tenders out there, which include hybrid, wind, FDRE, fixed dispatch renewable energy tenders, which need to be awarded out. This is besides the fact that multiple PSUs are taking out fairly large size tenders. I mean, as we speak, there is an NTPC tender out there. There is an LJVNL tender out there. And given that we've created a very, very large order book, of course, there are significant orders in advanced stages of discussion. Keeping in mind some of our targets, which are we are now enhancing, given that we are looking at a far larger volume of supplies and execution as we move forward, we are bidding and participating in most of these tenders.
I see. So, Devansh, should we anticipate a different kind of guidance in terms of what you will end up doing for FY25-26 than what has been communicated in the past?
Look, without specifying exact numbers, all I'm saying is whatever has been communicated in the past for FY25 and 26, we will be significantly higher than that. We will elaborate more on this at an opportune time. All I can say at this point in time is we would be looking at significantly larger numbers.
Right. One other comment if you can give me is on many of these tenders are getting undersubscribed, or there are delays or there are land delays. I mean, that's the nature of this business. So how do you see that impacting both your current bid pipeline as well as the ability to execute some of these numbers that, you know, we are talking about?
Look, I think there was nothing new about that. That was very visible to us in the past 12 to 15 months. We've seen the pain in the sector for the past 5 years. So, frankly speaking, it was pretty clear that you need to have a split of turnkey and equipment supply. It is foolish for someone to say that we will do only equipment supply and then blame people that I am not ready, you are not ready, blah, 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 blah. What we have done smartly is we have used a significant chunk of our project pipeline, which we continue to replenish and build on, and we are also smartly taking equipment supply orders, number one. Number two, we are also taking equipment supply orders from people who we believe are capable of executing. Okay. Now, obviously, there can be delays and there can be challenges when you develop infrastructure. But there is also a quality which needs to be looked at. If you notice, we are not taking in orders from start-of-the-mill IPPs and so on and so forth, so-called C&I players who talk of equipment supply, because they don't have the wherewithal and the pedigree to do it.
Okay.
And we are completely hedged because we have the turnkey ability. We today are the largest turnkey wind turbine company in the country. And we are now adding onto equipment supply with genuine and relevant parties. So there is no point taking orders for the sake of taking orders from people who are not capable of executing them and then blaming them.
Wonderful. Super. Thank you so much for that and wishing you guys all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Dhaval Doshi from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Congratulations, team, on the good set of numbers and a strong order book. Just wanted to clarify one thing, Devansh. You mentioned 15 gigawatt of bid pipeline. This is in addition to the PSU orders, or this includes the PSU orders?
No, this is in addition to the PSU orders. These are various. So PSUs are guys who take out tenders. So for example, we won 3 NTPC tenders, we won an NLC tender. Similarly, there are tenders in the public domain by SJVNL and NTPC, where we only, you know, where we either only supply turbines or in certain tenders we do turnkey projects. Right? That's where Inox Wind submits tenders. And then there is another 15 gigawatt of pipeline out there, which is hybrid, wind, FDRE, etc., where say people like Adani, Tata, CESC, etc. participate.
Okay. So, and what would be the current PSU pipeline in addition to this 15 gigawatt that you mentioned?
Look, I can only say in the public domain right now we have a 1,000 megawatt NTPC tender, there's a 300 megawatt SJVNL tender. This is in the public domain. What we've also seen is NTPC's taken out tenders for BOP for about 2 gigawatt. We know there are various other projects in the pipeline from various PSUs, Kailash. Like,
I mean, even like some of the new green hydrogen, green ammonia, a lot of those things are also coming up, which will add to volume over and above.
And we have a couple of other PSUs, yes, which we believe are coming out with tenders in the near future or on an ongoing basis.
Okay. So,
much larger than anticipation.
So, when the government had come up with the plans on wind power, they said almost 10 gigawatt of annual ordering. And they've significantly lagged. If you can highlight what are the issues which is leading to this delay, and when do we expect that kind of an ordering, at least even 50% of that ordering, to start trickling in on an annual basis? So I'm more interested in understanding what are the issues which is hampering the overall execution as well as the ordering cycle.
Look, first and foremost, while the government may have initially anticipated 10 gigawatt of clean wind tenders, don't forget, there's 15 gigawatt of tenders out there, for which, and 9 gigawatt out of that, if I'm not mistaken, Anshuman, is FDRE, right? FDRE needs 9 gigawatt of incremental wind. Then you've got plain wind tenders and hybrid tenders. So yes, the nomenclature may change from NTPC, NHPC, SECI, taking out 2.5 gigawatt of tenders. But the tenders already in the public domain, be it FDRE or wind or hybrid, which requires a component of wind, is far more than that, number one. Number two, that there are a lot of people who are playing the C&I game. For example, CSC will require captive. For example, the large IPP with whom we've signed 280 megawatts, we've done multiple projects with them, repeat customer, they do C&I. they get better returns. They anticipate that they would rather play on the exchange days or sell to retail, industrial, XYZ customers. So there is enough demand coming in, but you've got different categories. You've got the C and I, and for that you don't need any tendering. And the third piece is, I mean, to some extent you're seeing that when the government is taking on these tenders, they are kind of, a lot of people already have so many tenders, one, or so much C&I demand that they need to fulfill. How much more will they take? Let's put it like this. This is almost ballpark, right? There's 15 gigawatts out there. Let's say another 4-5 gigawatts is in the pipeline. Let's say 7-8 gigawatts has been awarded over the past 12 months. That's almost 27-28 gigawatts in the past, say, 12 to 18 months. You need to have people who can supply also. Don't forget, majority of the sector has gone bust. And even from an execution pipeline perspective, there are probably only two, at best, or three, not even three, I would say two players who do turnkey. So everyone doesn't have the ability to do project development or project infrastructure. You will gradually have people coming in, or they'll take much longer than experts. And I think to that extent, I think everyone's plate is full at this point in time.
So one of the issues, Devansh, which I understand, is the implementation or the execution of the project. So there are a few competitors of yours who are more interested in just giving the turbines, and they're not interested in executing it. Given we have that edge, how does it benefit in terms of more orders or more market share? And second question is, if I'm not mistaken, our annual execution capacity is 1 gigawatt. Given the kind of order book that we have and the pipeline which is there, at what point in time will you foresee us expanding our capacity?
Okay, I'll take your second question first. First and foremost, a manufacturing capacity is 2.5 gigawatts. It's not 1 gigawatt. Kailash mentioned in his opening remarks that we are gearing ourselves to be a 2 gigawatt supplier to the Indian market. We are geared to be a gigawatt supplier to the Indian market. Okay, these are the three most important points which Kailash mentioned in his opening remarks. Secondly, our capacity is north of 2.5 gigawatts, as I explained to you. So we don't need to expand capacity till we get closer to those numbers. And if we do, we'll expand, because within the existing capacities, we can put up another shed and ramp it up. At the end of the day, we've spent about 100 million, 800 crores to build a 2.5 gigawatt manufacturing capacity. So, you know, we've not spent 4, 5, 6,000 crores like some of our competitors. At 1/5, 1/6, 1/7 the cost, we can expand these capacities. Secondly, I think in terms of how are we gearing up to take market share, look, I have always said we are historically a 15 to 20% market share player. Having said that, I don't care about market share. I care about profitability. There is no point from 10 till 17 when the sector was rolling saying I'm the largest player and lose thousands and thousands of crores, or being the second largest player and make 1% margin. We've historically been a 14 to 15% EBIT company, barring the painful transition period of 17 to 23. I think we have guided and we have said our aim is to get back to those numbers from the coming financial year. So to that extent, if you look at our order book, it probably is one of the largest order books in the Indian market today. There is a very, very healthy pipeline of orders which we expect in the near future across IPPs, across C&I players. We are participating in multiple PSU bids. So, you know, naturally, if you juxtapose some of this, you know, you will be able to figure out what kind of execution and supplies we are gearing up to be a part of in the Indian market.
So, manufacturing is 2.5 gigawatt, but on, if I were to do a complete execution or turnkey, what would that figure be?
Look, that's not, it's not a question. I mean, ideally, if you want me to do 3 gigawatt, I can. Will I do it? No, I will not do it. What we want to do is 50% turnkey, 50% equipment supply. That's the broad mix. Obviously, it could be 40, 60 or 60, 40. But just in terms of capability, I'll throw a number at you. Until 15, 16, 17, when the sector used to be Q4 dependent, and you have this set of 31st March, on average, Inox Wind used to do 50 to 60 turbines every month in the last quarter. Right? Now, whether it's a 2 megawatt or a 3 megawatt or a 4 megawatt turbine, is the same job. So you juxtapose that. 50 or 60 turbines is 100 to 120 megawatt. Multiplied into 3.3 megawatt, you will be anywhere from 180 to 200 megawatts a month. So from a capability perspective, we could do north of 2 gigawatts. Do we want to do it? No.
In terms of the profitability and the revenue aspect, can you differentiate how would a pure equipment supply order be and how would a turnkey project be?
I'm sorry, I missed your question. I'm sorry, I lost you. Could you repeat?
So, just trying to understand the revenue and the profitability profile between a turnkey project and a pure equipment supply.
Look, I'm not going to share those numbers because...
No, I don't want specifics. I don't want specifics. If you can just...
You know, in terms of absolute profitability, turnkey gives you a little higher, obviously gives you higher because you're taking more headache and more risk, right? From a percentage point, it may be on par with equipment supply because your denominator is lower, right? But it's not a question of... It's you know, you have to take some easy businesses and you have to take some... turnkey businesses. So it's not a question of why don't we just do all turnkey, because it's complicated. Yeah? You need to build lines, you need to acquire land, you need to solve ROW issues. It's not possible to just take all the dirt and leave them alive for our competitors. Hello?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Akhilesh B, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations to the whole team. As a shareholder, I'm really happy to see all the positive developments around our company and you know, our sharp focus on profitable growth, which will be really important going ahead. My question is around the merger with Inox Wind Energy Limited. In late December, we got approvals from the exchanges. So where does that process stand now? Have we filed the case in NCLT and any tentative timeline that we see for completion of the same?
Yes. As we have stated through our press release in December, that we have already received the approval from both the exchanges, after which we have filed the case, our scheme in NCLT as well, at the Chandigarh bench. Now we await the listing of the hearing, and it may take time because, as you know, NCLT is a time-taking process. However, we don't have any guidance as of now, but what we expect that we should get it within the next 2 to 3 quarters.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Abhishek Datta from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on the great set of numbers and the great outlook. Sir, I just wanted to understand, like, you have manufacturing capacity of 2.5 gigawatt and you have a sizable order backlog, order book. So, can you just throw some light as to when do you expect this 1 gigawatt order execution in the near future?
It's very difficult to say any exact timeline, but we are definitely gearing up. As Devansh also said, we are building up the capacity, and capacity in the sense of, you know, the order intakes and all that, and we will gradually over the quarter put the timeline in such a way that we can execute those.
Okay. So the second question is on when you say that you have one of the largest common infrastructure among the players, how do you quantify it? Like, is it record? Is it part of our gross block that stands at around 2,000 crores? How much is the common infrastructure part?
How we talk of the common infrastructure is the access to our project sites, transmission lines, land banks, substations. That's how we quantify that we are one of the largest project site inventories. And that's what enables us to get projects which can be done on a plug-and-play basis, as opposed to starting from scratch, which would be a 3 to 4 to 5 year process.
Okay, that's fine. But how much of that, how do you quantify it? Like in terms of you have spent money to create that asset pool. So in the 2000 crore gross block of 2023, how much that represents?
So in terms of the, you know, the investment which we have made in common infrastructure is broadly in the range of 400 or 500 crore rupees, which is lying in our CWIP or the fixed asset block.
So is it the same like other financial assets, non-current financial assets of 470 crores which is there? Is that is what you are referring to, the common infrastructure part or the unbilled revenue?
Lies in our books of accounts and give the right to use to our customers and will, you know, apportion over a period of time. The other non-current financial assets which you are seeing is towards the unbilled revenue, which we, towards the O&M business. As per the accounting rules, we need to straight line over O&M contract over a period of time, and the initial 2 years of free O&M period is showing
so
the unbilled revenue.
Capitalized
in our fixed asset block, in PPE.
Can you just explain that part, like of the 1300 crore gross block of INOX Green, how much is...
Green. Could I suggest you get off on a separate call and they can explain it to you, because there is straight lining revenue and there is also fixed assets where the gross block part of it is in INOX Green and part of it is in RESCO.
Okay. And so, total promoter,
Abhishek sir, could you please join the queue?
Okay, go ahead. Just one question. Of the total promoter institution, after total to promoter infusion, what is the interest level of interest-bearing debt right now?
The interest-bearing debt as of 31st December would be about 450 odd crores would be the interest-bearing debt in the company.
Okay, so thank you so much, and that's it.
To get on, we can explain those.
Sure, offline. Yeah, so we'll explain all those queries offline.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. I request the participants to restrict with one question in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Divakar Rana from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. All my question has been answered. Just one question. What will be the normalized interest cost from the Q4 onwards?
Look, I think when you look at these numbers, our fundraising happened in middle of November when we got the proceeds and we started using them. All our one-time charges are coming down, banks are going off cost. But I think on a rolling basis, we are on a 30 crore odd run rate at this point in time.
30 odd crores,
Rahul?
Yeah, so we will be on the run rate of 30 to 35 in Q4 probably, and another
okay.
30 crore. This amount which has been infused by the promoter, this was done in November. And you know, the effect of this has come into December. So probably from Q4 we'll be able to see the 30 crore run rate.
Excluding the one-time charges, given that a lot of entities are being repaid, debts are being repaid, and those have charges because we are breaking them from the 3-year, 4-year, 5-year terms which we had taken from the bankers.
Yeah. Okay, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just would like to know, out of this total order book of 2.6 gigawatt, roughly how much would be for the new 3 megawatt turbines?
Kailash, I think it should be 2 megawatt.
I think very, very few 2 megawatt orders are left. I think we are talking about...
What about
350 megawatts?
About 350
megawatts out of
big.
This is all 3 megawatts.
Sorry, sir, I couldn't hear you properly.
Oh, 350 odd megawatts is 2 megawatt. Everything else is 3.3 megawatt turbines.
Okay, and as you know, we had seen on earlier calls, so this 3 megawatt turbines fetch more compared to the earlier technology?
Look, our earlier technology was outdated. When the sector shut down, we had a lot of inventory, etc., etc. So we had not upgraded our turbines. Because if you don't sell the old inventory or clean up the old inventory, how are you going to move to larger turbines? And from that perspective, yes, the 3 megawatt are sold at a higher price, but then they are much larger rotor, they are much higher in terms of tower height. what is important is cost of energy, not capex. And the 3.3 megawatt platform reduces the cost of energy compared to the our earlier 2 megawatt turbine by virtually 35 to 40%.
Thank you, sir. Next question comes from Yashwardhan Sarda from SKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Could you please tell me a little more clarity on the Equinox Green merger and what the timeline is like?
No, it's not Equinox Green. It's Equinox Wind Energy Limited, which is the promoter of Equinox Wind, getting reverse merger. And I, in one of the previous questions, I answered that we have already filed the scheme in NCLT, and however, we can't tell you the exact timelines, but what we expect is that within the next 2 to 3 quarters, we should get the approval from the NCLT.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from Bharani Vijay from Avendus. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, gentlemen. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so I just want to understand the working capital, how it works for your equipment business and your turnkey business. So how much of inventory typically would be kept and what will be the time before the client pays, etc. That kind of details for, say, separately turnkey business and equipment business. Thank you.
Look, I think very simply put, the past will not be a barometer of the future given that the sector shut down, but in a normalized scenario, say FY25, which will be the first full year of normalized operations and all the debt issues out and 3 megawatt kicking in and the sector will feed in tariff issues behind us, what we would be guiding for is about 90 days of working capital cycle. When you typically supply a turbine, as Manish and Kailash may have explained or Rahul may have explained, when you supply a turbine and equipment supply, we supply the turbine, the risk reward gets passed and we get paid. That would typically be in 45 to 60 days. And in a turnkey contract, obviously again, when you supply the turbine, you get paid the supply price. But the EPC piece, which is about 25% of the turbine cost also, you get paid in different milestones. So that depends on what the contract are. But that typically comes over a period of 1 year.
So to summarize,
but 90 days is a good barometer in terms of working capital cycle guidance for the consolidated business.
So it will be higher for EPC business and it will be lower for equipment business. 90 is the
not answer. Necessarily. Again, like I said, your supply payments come in. It's the smaller part which comes in different milestones. And those milestones are, say, over 12 months because you supply turbines, you're doing foundations, you're erecting, you get paid something on foundation, you get paid something on erection, you get paid something on USS, something on charging of the line, something on final commissioning, something on STPT. So it's a process. So that could be for 3%, which may come after 3 months, or 4%, which may come after 5 months. But broadly, as I said, it's very hard to say, will this be 81 days and will this be 96 days? As I said, broadly 90 days is a good barometer for the consolidated business.
So what will be the shortest time within which you can supply equipment and shortest time within which you can execute a turnkey project?
Look, if I'm in love with you, I can supply a turbine to you tomorrow and probably commission it for you in 30 days. But let's look at it practically. I think inventories are more or less consumed now. We are now building on inventories because the 2 megawatt is out and you are now ramping up your 3 megawatt supplies. So we have a lot of orders which you've taken. Kailash, I think you have different timelines. Now, I mean, frankly, if we were to accept an order today, it would be for FY26. We would not be supplying any incremental turbines given such a large order book for FY25.
Okay,
yeah,
maybe I will
stay connected while we correct the management team back on the call. I welcome back the management team. Please go ahead, sir.
Can you please ask the participant to repeat his question?
Yes, Asha. Barney, sir, your line unmuted. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, I thought my session got over. Anyway, so no, that answered my question. Just that you are telling if you take an order now, you will be able to supply equipment only for 2026, right?
That's right, because we have a very large order book at this point in time. I mean, of course, Kailash, you can throw more light.
I think as I was telling that time when call got disconnected, I think most of the timelines have gone up. I think in past we used to execute in 3 months, 6 months, those kind of timelines. But today most of the large customers, and if you see we have all, I would say, what you can call top shots, you know, or the very, very sophisticated marquee customers, you know, big ones. So they typically, all of them plan project execution anywhere from 12 to 15 to 18 months. So if I am talking today for you and turbine supply, mostly I talk to you not this financial year or not even coming, maybe most probably in the financial year after. So it will be most probably 25, 26 or so.
Okay. And it will be same for turnkey projects also, meaning you will commit to execute a project by turnkey only by 26.
In fact, yes, equipment supply could even be faster, but turnkey will definitely take longer time. For sure, we'll plan accordingly.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen. All the best. We'll hope to talk to you in future. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Khan Garg from Garg Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. So firstly, I would like to thank for all the steps that you have taken to make Inox Wind's balance sheet such great. I think you have given a 0% interest loan. I think in the last 15 years I've been investing, I've never found any management doing that. So I thought I should congratulate you for doing all the good things for the shareholders. So I just have one question. So my question is, if I look at the order book of, let's say, Suzlon, I mean, the largest competitor and yourself, right? What I see is that there is no capacity for both the companies to supply wind turbines for, let's say, FY25, right? So my question is, given that so many orders are coming from the government, do we see any changes in the pricing of the turbines, or do we see, is there any possibility of expansion of margins, let's say, when we onboard or take new contracts?
Look, I think we've already taken a very, very significant number of orders for FY25. If you look at our firm order book, excluding LOIs, it's now north of 2,500 megawatts. And there are certain other commitments which we have, which are in different stages of advanced stages of closure, of which we bid for. So from that perspective, I don't think, and I think Kailash mentioned, I don't think the team is planning to take any turnkey orders whatsoever for 25. For 26 also, a very limited chunk, I think. I don't know, Kailash would know better. I mean, are we taking more for 26 turnkey?
Not for the next financial year, only year after, and that too very limited.
Yeah, I think limited, and I think it's more on the equipment supply side. Yes, we have the potential. Of course, we have the manufacturing capacity, so we could. But I think we're choosing our customers selectively. As I mentioned in two of my earlier conference calls, what's important is ease of doing business as well and the customer intent to pay. There is no point taking order from people who just come up today or put a motley group of 3-4 people and they believe they can execute. We are very selective and focused on the guys from whom we are taking equipment supply. And to that extent, I think, as we've said, we ourselves anticipate gigawatt scale execution much faster, but we are gearing up to be a 2 gigawatt supplier to the Indian market. That's all that we can say at this point in time.
Thank you. Next question comes from Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for very good set of numbers and thanks for the opportunity. So what is the timeline for execution of this CESC order?
So this is a binding agreement which we entered into, which is spread over 3 to 4 years.
Spread over 3 to 4 years. And sir, when are we going to launch this new 4 megawatt turbine and what will be energy saving of that turbine over 3 megawatt?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, we are right now focusing on 3 megawatt. 4 megawatt is basically for the future. This is what we are planning, and I think in one of the comments, Devansh explained that it's a process which we'll go through. We'll do the detailed, you know, prototype, go for RLMM testing and all that. So possibly it will take another, you know, 2 to 3 years before it becomes commercially available.
Thank you. Next question comes from Prateek Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Rahul Kothari from Grit Equities. Please go ahead. I repeat, question comes from Rahul Kothari. Please go ahead.
Sir, with the demand of the wind industry expanding multifold, how is the availability of the cranes coping up since the 3 megawatt cranes are turbines are new and require different set of cranes? And secondly, for the equipment supply industry to grow, there should be, I understand there should be external BOP players. So can you shed some light on whether the Indian industry, there are players who are providing the BOP services? Position?
Yeah, first and foremost on the cranes, there is no shortage of cranes. I mean, if you don't plan and suddenly ask for a crane, you won't get it. I think from our organization perspective, there is no challenge. We've anticipated what we need. We've got all of them in place. And for our future, we'll tie it up well in course as and when we need it. I can't comment about others. Secondly, with respect to other BOP service providers, there are a few small guys. Let's put it like that. Unorganized or maybe one or two organized players who are doing this, they have the ability to give 200-400 megawatts in a year, not beyond that, and in a certain state. They're not pan-India players. So I think, as I would say, execution, turnkey is something which we believe is a very, very strong USP, a very strong moat at Inox, and we will leverage it to the hilt. I can't comment with respect to other players in the market. The large IPPs, some of the very large IPPs have the capability to do it. They are doing it to some extent. Some of them have failed to do it because that's not their core competence. But yes, there is a significant shortage of quality BOP service providers in the market.
Just to add that, we have a good partnership of many of our crane suppliers and BOP service providers. So typically they know in advance how we are building up, what sites are coming up, where we are executing. So this shouldn't become a constraint at all from that point of view. The gear up.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from Chirag from Katamaran. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just a couple of bookkeeping questions. Can you share the execution megawatt number for the quarter? Also, the closing net debt, the interest-bearing net debt, if you can.
So the execution was over 100 megawatts this quarter, precisely around 104 megawatts. And the net, as we had informed in an earlier question, is around 450 to 500 crores. This is a net interest-bearing debt, which is there now.
Right. Yeah.
Look, I mean, don't get colored by the current interest because there's a lot. The money came in November, and also a lot of the prepayments are happening. These were NCDs, long-term debt. So it's a bilateral negotiation. These weren't CCs or loans which we could repay. So there are exceptional charges which are coming in the one-time cost. So the interest cost of 60 is not the cost at which we are. We are potentially today at about 30 crores, which we expect to virtually become zero over the next two odd quarters.
Right. And there will be bank guarantee charges which will be around 50 odd crores annually, right, if I understand it?
So that's part of this whole thing, right? That's why I said if you're going to be roughly on 30 crores, that includes the interest-bearing debt, that includes your one-time bank charges, LC charges, BC charges, and BG charges. What we anticipate is over the next two quarters, potentially earlier, but over the two quarters, we are net debt-free, right? And a lot of the bank charges are going to further come down as we are moving forward, given the strengthened operations and the profitability profile which bankers are seeing as we move forward.
Right. Now, what I was trying to address is two or three quarters down the line when the entire debt, sort of interest-bearing debt gets paid down, there will be a 50-odd crores of annual bank guarantee charges, right? That's the broad number we should work with?
Your annual bank guarantee charges would be close to 10 crores per annum.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That would be the last question for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Dur Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.